Faith wars for us, subdues kingdoms. Sure does. Faith works for us, works righteousness in the hearts of those who know God. Faith will give us the ability to wait to see what God's going to do, because God has made a promise to his friends. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. That's what God feels about us. We're his friends. He says, I love you that much. I love you too much to leave you. Not only does faith work for us and war for us and waits for us, but finally it wins. Faith wins. Go back to Hebrews 11, if you would. Skip down this time again to verse number 35. It wars for us. It works for us. It waits, if we will wait for God. Now he says he wins. In verse number, let's go back to 33. Verse 33, he says it this way. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens, the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead, raised to life again. And now here's the victory. And it doesn't look like much of a victory, but it says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials, trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And above these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Faith wins. It's hard to call that a win if we just think about it and the way we look at things. But they won. They were winners. Verse 38 puts it very plainly when the Bible says that the world was not worthy of them. They won. And they got to get out of here. They got to go. And they got to go and obtain and live out the very promises of God. Paul said it a little differently in Philippians chapter number 1. Look over there just to your left, just a few pages. Page 867 in your pew Bibles. The victory for them was that God kept his word. And in Philippians chapter number 1, I love the way Paul said it here. Skip down if you would to verse number 21. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 21, Paul says here about faith, how we win, how our faith in God will always make us the victors. He says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I could paraphrase that one, I got a little bit of kick out of paraphrasing that one as I read it over and over. It says, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is more Christ. He said, you know what? When I live, I'm living with him. And when I die, I'm going to live with him, and I'm going to see him face to face. He says, that's how we're going to get the victory. Amen. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He says, I understand that's really the victory. The victory is to really get out of here and to be with Christ. In verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse number 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, I don't care what happens when faith and life collide. He said, will you choose faith? Will you choose faith? He says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. He says, which is to them an evident token of perdition. He says, when they taunt you, you remember what David said over there in Psalm 34? He says, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them like they were my friends, my brother, like they were my mother. I humble myself. I rip my clothes off for them. I pray for them earnestly. He said, but they don't care. And here Paul writes the same thing. He says, you know what? He says, you stay faithful. Don't be terrified by them. He says, for them, all that taunting and all of that harassment is just a token that they're lost. That's what lost people do. He says, but to you of salvation and that of God, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, not just to believe, but when life and faith collides, and there might be a little suffering, the Bible says, it's not just for you to be able to live for him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. The faithful, we always win. God has promised it. We always win. We always win. A couple things other than I'll be done. Look in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, page 441 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 34 here again is a psalm of David. A man who understands that through faith we always have the victory. I want to just pick out a few verses here. The whole chapter is just awesome as it speaks about how the Lord will redeem and will take care of those who will stand faithful. Read it when you get home if you would. But let's just pick up at verse number 1 of Psalm 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Now, David was in a fix when he wrote this. He says, but I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Those are the believers, I believe. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. And David says, when you need a little faith, when you need to know who God is, he says, will you just taste and see that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He says, we just need to trust God, and we just need to know that God has already given us all the victory that we need. We read over in Hebrews 11, verse number 39, where God said this. He says, and these all, talking about those champions of faith, they obtained a good report through faith. And that's what we want. We want a good report. We want to be able to stand before God unashamed. He says, but they did not receive the ultimate promise. God's work was not complete in them. God was not yet done. But I want to assure you that God only has one body of believers. And Gideon, and Barak, and Deborah, and Samuel, and Elijah, and Isaiah, and all those who are with God. But the body of believers will not be complete until you and I, as believers in Christ, join them there. God says they can't finish. The work is not complete until we get there. And I like to put it this way, as I've heard somebody say, they can't crown him until we get there. And that's what God is saying here. He says, with faith we win. But God says, I want you to know that you're going to one day be joined together with all those other believers. Like the Old Testament believers, we have to continue on until God's will is perfectly clear for us, understanding that no situation is able to overshadow the truth of God's words. You know, God has already told us. God has already told us that there are going to be things that we're going to experience, that there are going to be times where life is indeed going to collide with faith. But we have to choose to be faithful. We have to choose to be faithful. Two other places I want to show you, then I'm done. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. If you're following in the Pew Bible, that's on page 835. And then we'll close out in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. In Romans chapter number 8, God says to us, if I were to paraphrase it, God says there's going to be some times when life and faith are going to collide. And he asks us a question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Beginning in verse number 24, he says, we're saved by hope. What's the hope, guys? The hope is what Christ has done for us. He says, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. But what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what he says there? When things get so rough for you, you don't know what to say. He says, just close your eyes. Just pray. And maybe there aren't any words coming out, but he says, just close your eyes in prayer. And he says, the Holy Spirit, he knows what you need, and he's going to be praying for you. He says, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that faith and life are going to collide. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on to talk to us about the victory. As he tells us that we can't ever get so, we can't outlive him. We can't die and be separated from him. He says there's no angel that can rip us out of his presence. There's no principality, nothing that can separate us from God. He says you can't get so high. You can't get so low. You can't get any too far away from God, so far away from God, that you lose sight of the victory that God has for those who will choose faith rather than life and rather than circumstances. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he told Timothy that sometimes it was going to get difficult. He told him that it was going to be difficult, but he wanted him to buckle down and he wanted him to choose faith. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll close out here, page 878 in your Pew Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, because there's no mystery. If somebody told you when you got saved that you were going to be spared from all the hardships that life has that life brings about, they lied to you. And they didn't prepare you to be a man or a woman of faith. But in every example that God gives us, why else would God tell us that he's worked out all things together for our good? If it were not to tell us that there were some things that were going to come into our pathways that we were not going to find pleasing. Why else would Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, who he had left to minister in a church there, why would he tell him here that he needed to buckle down and be ready because the fight sometimes is going to be difficult, but he needed to choose faith over life and over circumstances? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, as Paul wrote to Timothy, beginning in verse number 11, he says, no matter what's going on, my friend, no matter what's happening, no matter what people are doing around you, no matter what they turn to, no matter they turn to money and gold and things, he says, but thou, O man of God, make a choice. You flee these things. You follow after righteousness. You follow after godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. You fight the good fight of faith. You hang in there, buddy. You lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What do you got to do? He says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. When life and faith collide, choose faith. Faith will fight for you. It'll war against all those things that seem impossible in your life. Faith will work for you, because through faith, God will surprise you. He'll have you praying for your enemies. You don't even want to. And not just, Lord, save them, but like David said, earnestly, ripping off my clothes, praying for them like they were my friend or my brother. He said, that's what faith did for me. He says, faith will show you how to wait to see what God's going to do, even though you might be in the midst of something very difficult, knowing ultimately, Lord, I believe that faith always wins. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Let's pray. Father, I don't know what life has in store, but I believe that you prepare us for all things. You've given us a great book of faithful men and women. So many of them ran into some great difficulties. Some were afraid. You didn't condemn them for that. But you taught them how to be faithful through fear. Some of them were persecuted. Some of them, Lord, you spared. Some of them died in that persecution. But they lived for you in their faith. Some of them were sick. You taught us that all sickness does not lead to death. You taught us that all sickness is not a result of our sin. You taught us, Lord, that you are a healing God who can take sickness away. But you've called on us to be men and women of faith, to wait to see what your will is. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like Paul. Help us to be between a spiritual rock and a hard place. Help us, Lord, to want to live and live for you as a testimony of you. But at the same time, Lord, give us a thirst to be, to die, and to live forever with you, knowing that we're not losing anything. In both situations, there's great gain. Father, I want to trust you above all else. I want to look forward to the great day of victory. You told us that those men and women of faith, they've done a good thing. They have a good report. They're standing before you, Father, and not with any shame. But you've given us, Lord, something even greater, and that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ. You've recorded his words for us. You've recorded his hope for us. You've given us, Lord, the words of eternal life. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to live in that, and to love in that, and to wait in that, waiting for the victory, understanding, Lord, that when we get there in glory, in the presence of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, we'll be there for the great crowning ceremony as you bring all of your enemies and you put your heel on their necks and you declare yourself to be the great and the mighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great potentate. Father, I pray. You've given us the keys to your kingdom. You've given us, Lord, a vision into the future and where we see that our faith can lead us to a great victory through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we might live our lives in faith, not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. I pray in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.